And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, September 8th, 1:08 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the upper 60s to near 70, and there's a few showers on radar as well. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, parts of the area saw the first frost of the season over the weekend. It got a little chilly out there.
They did, not to be taken lightly. There was some areas of killing frost. I got lots of pictures of frozen soybeans over the weekend. I know gardens are one thing. Folks were trying to make sure that they covered things if at all possible, et cetera. But once we get outside the Red River Valley, and no doubt we saw some here as well, but Valley City up to Devil's Lake, especially West River, North Dakota, we saw a lot of frozen soybeans. Not sure what the extent of that change is going to mean. For some folks, they said this could easily drop another 6-7 bushel off what they were expecting for top end yields. We could see some drastic changes in corn as well. So, yeah, it's not like you can go out and tarp a field to protect it. But nonetheless, it was indeed happening.
Yeah. Well, that's not good news for sure. But I guess the good news is we do have warmer weather in the forecast as we head through this upcoming week. In fact, temperatures are going to start to poke up above normal as we head into midweek and into the upcoming weekend. We're looking at the temperatures outside right now. As I said, in the upper 60s to near 70. We'll top out in the mid to upper 70s across the area. There's a few light showers from Valley City west through about the Bismarck area, moving due east. So as the afternoon goes on, a hit or miss shower or storm can't be ruled out. Then partly cloudy overnight tonight. We'll drop off into the mid to upper 50s and increasing sunshine as we head into your Tuesday with highs in the upper 70s. Then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday look dry. Temperatures between 80 and 83. And then an upper level system moves over the area as we head into the weekend, with a chance for scattered storms Saturday and Sunday. I'm not looking at all-day rain events, but we do stand the chance for precip. And then as we head into next week, that's when we start to get into the stormier part of our LRC cycle, which means increasing chances for rain as we head into next week. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. And Big Iron starts tomorrow, Bridget, so a big week for agriculture and for a lot of people visiting the area as well.
They will be. So Big Iron, a few details for folks that are curious. You can stop and visit any one of us as we are broadcasting from the Morton Building. You'll be able to stop there for any of our shows here on WDAY and shake hands, pick up a free cap, and visit. We want to thank Morton Buildings, Red Wing Shoes, and PetroServe USA for making sure we are present at Big Iron. If you are looking for a golf cart, All Season Motorsports is supplying golf carts, and one of the farmers that I know out in Steele County called me this morning saying, can I still rent a cart? He texted me, said he called All Seasons just a few minutes ago, double check. They are no longer taking reservations, but they do have carts on site. So when you get there, go and see them at their booth space to see if you can get a cart. Again, we want to make sure that you pick up hats from us. Also plan for Wednesday morning. There is a pancake breakfast for folks who are attending. That is a free will donation. Starts at 8 a.m. And Wednesday night, there's a free concert with country artist Josh Turner. Parking is free. Admission is free. And I look at this as very much an educational event. You know, last year, my friend Naomi, she's been on the show with us before. She came just to learn, to ride around, ask questions, and learn as many things as she could. And that was really an outstanding opportunity to do so. If you have questions, you can reach us today on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. And we hope that you are watching, following along on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. That's where you can find us at WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus. So those are just a few of the things going on this week, Dean. I have a whole list of them.
It's going to be a busy week, Bridget, no doubt about it.
It is. You know, a giant thank you to Cass County Farm Bureau. They are our sponsors for our Weather and Ag Assistant Ag Director. And that Cass County Farm Bureau wanted to make sure that I let you know it is their 83rd annual meeting. And that'll be happening tomorrow, September the 9th at Bonanzaville, right next door to the Red River Fairgrounds, where we're hosting Big Iron. And that is for voting members. You have a social at 5 o'clock and a meal and meeting at 6. If you need to RSVP, You can do that, 701-321-2964. You can always drop me an email, agatflagfamily.com, and I'll share that information with you. So you can register again for the Cass County Farm Bureau annual meeting tomorrow night.
And be sure to stop out and see Bridget and I out at the Morton Building tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday.
Please.
Yes, as we're going to have some specials if you're in the agriculture industry and you want to know more about the LRC. Gary is running some specials, and we'll have those specials out at Big Iron for you as well. So stop by, see what the special is that Gary is going to be running if you're interested in subscribing to the LRC, which many in our ag community have already done so. And with the new cycle going to start here in about a little more than three weeks, it'll be interesting to see what this winter holds and even into next spring. Is it going to be a wet one? Is it going to be a dry one? What are we expecting this winter? So we'll be unraveling all that over the next month and a half or so. So it'll be interesting. I've had a lot of people already ask, what's a winter look like? We're hearing a snowier than normal winter. We're hearing a colder than normal winter. And I said, where are you hearing that from? Well, the farmers all, I just stop right there. Don't bother with the farmers almanac.
Well, more importantly, I think about when we say the normal, please define normal for me, because if we're just talking on a 30-year average, I'm going to tell you to stop blowing smoke. We got to use a 40.
Right.
That makes way better accuracy for us. But also, I don't know what to call normal anymore, because after the last 5 years, if I just think about that, there's been every variation possible.
It has been. Yeah, no doubt about it. And odds are, first off, when we talk about the LRC, we like to consider that the centerpiece of the atmospheric puzzle. There's a lot of other pieces that go together with the LRC. And one of those is the warming or cooling of the ocean temperatures, better known as El Nino or La Nina. And typically when you go into a La Nina winter, or we're getting signs of that, it's usually a slightly snowier than normal winter and also a colder than normal winter. Not always, but that's what it favors. And we're starting to see signs of that developing. And that is expected to continue through the winter months. So that will play a part of a factor in our winter weather. So we'll keep an eye on it. And like I said, that new LRC cycle starts right around that 6th of October time frame, and we'll be watching the weather patterns very carefully through the month of October and through the first few weeks of November. If that's a stormy period in our area, then likely it's probably going to be a stormier than normal winter. So we'll see how that unfolds.
Well, there's really so much planning that we can do. It'll be nice to have an idea what the winter's going to bring. Does that mean that we should be doing some fall seed to cover crops? Should we be thinking about some fall weed control? Now, that's going to be part of our topic of conversation today when our guest, Marcia Van Leer with Gowan, joins us, is talking about our fall weed control. I just literally had a picture sent to me of some corn. Looks like it had a little frost damage out in western North Dakota. And the comment from a farmer in Missouri was, wow, you guys can really grow some kosh up there. That's not a compliment.
Oh, wow.
That's actually a bad thing. So I'm pretty sure Marcia and I can have a little discussion about that. We need to do some things to tidy that up this year. We saw some wrecks.
Right. Where did that come from?
Yeah. It was western North Dakota. I don't know where they took the picture, but the farmer who sent it back to me had seen it on social media and sent it back to me, and he's from Missouri. So
gotcha.
I guess we impressed Missouri with our kosha.
Yeah, well, like you said, not something we want to impress them with.
Not really.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that and so much more. We'll have Marcia joining us here before too terribly long. And when we do, you can again send us all your questions to the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. You can always send us emails, agorweather@flagfamily.com. Let's catch up with the American Ag Network for the livestock market update and return after that. Thanks for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus from the Coral Laundromat. Okay, some of you are thinking, a laundromat? But this is the perfect time. It's harvest. Things get dirty and messy, and it is a great opportunity for us to take care of that, whether it's your coveralls, your work clothes, shop towels, whatever it might be. You can take them to the Coral Laundromat. They are opening this month, And they can drop, you can take those things for self-service or drop off with a drive-up window. You can find them at 3620 Veterans Boulevard in Fargo. So a couple of things we want to make sure we talk about is our Here We Grow project. Now, later on, we're going to be joined by Marcia Van Leer. She is one of our sponsors with Gowan USA. We're going to talk about fall burn down and weed control because, as I mentioned earlier, we got a heck of a crop of kochia going on in some places. Also, a thank you to ND Estate Services, to Mark Wagner. Mark does an outstanding job of working with his clients to make sure they avoid probate, understand tax implications, and most importantly, have peace of mind. Now, Thor Buildings, they're on track to finish up so many projects this fall, some caused by storm damage, some not. But if you're in the market for post-frame construction, whether it's barns, machinery sheds, cabins, and so much more, give those folks a call over at thorbuildings.com. So, Dean, one of the things that folks have been talking about as of late is that there was a leak of the Make America Healthy Again report. Well, a couple of things for folks to note about that. One is, on Friday, I'm going to have a guest who's going to talk very specifically about how it affects agriculture, good and bad. So you're going to want to make sure to tune in on Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock. This gal, her name is Cindy Smith. She is in and out of Washington, D.C. She has been working on projects like this through several presidential terms and administrations. And so she can speak very clearly as to what folks think of when it comes to agriculture in Washington, D.C. And with this leaked report of MAHA, there are some items in there that I might have a little bit of concern, but overall it's mostly favorable to agriculture. This draft strategy that has been leaked talks about agriculture deregulation. Now, I'm going to need a little bit more detail on that. Just because you tell me it's deregulated doesn't mean that we know exactly what that's going to look like yet. A couple of items that stand out: defining post-harvest rinse and wash water as non-hazardous, that's a possibility; removing barriers for compliance burdens; and digitalizing USDA's application to ease access. One of the folks we're going to talk with at Big Iron this week is My Ag Data. And with My Ag Data, they are able to help with that digitization process so that if you want to report not only your crop insurance, but your acreage to FSA, you could do that just by joining up the information in your operations center that you're using on your tractor software, and you could be able to move that right on over for your eligibility at FSA. That could be a very simple transition, and we hope to see USDA step up the game and get a little bit better about it. Also, removing some of the bureaucratic barriers when it comes to community-supported agriculture like CSAs, direct-to-consumer sales, and then even for small dairies to process and sell raw milk locally. Here in North Dakota, we have done that on our own, so I feel like we maybe don't need the federal help to try to go after changing these regulations if we're doing it on a state-by-state basis, but I'll need to know more. That can be the downside with these reports that you receive governmentally. They give you some detail, but not enough to truly explain what's happening. And without that detail, too many things are inferred, and we don't want that. We want actual information when, if, and at all possible. Also, one of the focuses for this draft is to improve credit reliability, land acquisition, and some permitting for farmers. Now, it doesn't tell me if that permitting has anything to do with wetlands and so forth. It doesn't talk about improving anything like credit reliability. Does that mean only using USDA loans at FSA and land acquisition? I'm not really sure what that's going to get us, but hopefully after this draft report, we start to get a few more details that are a little more helpful so we can figure out exactly what they're trying to give us in this report. And it'll be interesting to watch because we're seeing some pretty big swings economically for agriculture right now. Our global economic landscape is really dramatically shifting and reshaping what our trade and traditional market dynamics look like. I saw a graph earlier today that was the first time ever I've seen that many counties up and down the entire Midwest with negative basis on soybeans. We normally don't see that type of a thing, so it was surprising to me that it's so widespread. But we're going to have to watch some of that, and maybe some of these reports from USDA and MAHA give us a little bit better help in the market. So one of the things that we have going on today is we have a guest, and that is Marcia Van Leer. She's with Gowan USA. And Marcia, maybe you heard my comment earlier about there's a fair crop of kochia out there, but maybe it's not the only one. What are things that you are seeing right now as we are getting into harvest, yeah, as far as weed control left over from this season?
There's been a lot of bumper crops of weeds. Kochia has been big. Wild oats have been big. Green foxtail has been big. Water hemp has been huge, along with common ragweed. I've seen a lot of those fields. It's maybe a bumper crop of a few too many weeds.
Any specific reason why, Marcia, this year opposed to the last few?
It's really tough to say. Kochia, any type of popcorn shower that we get, kochia is going to start emerging. Foxtail does the same thing, any type of popcorn shower. Wild oats, I think we had a lot of wild oats that came deep this year. So weed control that we had out there for them as a pre-emerge, it just blew right through that because it was able to kind of get the voomph to go up there. Water hemp, common ragweed, a lot of it too is we're using herbicides that aren't controlling anymore. We have a lot of resistance issues out in the neighborhood.
Okay.
I would agree with you tremendously. I think one of the things would probably have been early on this season, we had some really early emerging things like wild oat, and then we were dry and kochia really thrived. And because we were dry, we didn't have good canopy closure. So common ragweed, water hemp, they really took off. None of this sets up a great scenario going into 2026. Do you have folks that are talking at all about an interest in wanting to do some fall weed control, Marcia? Economics play into that pretty tough right now.
Economics do play into that. There is a lot of talk right now about doing the fall weed control, especially when you go further out west where they had a little bit more moisture. We're seeing some granule activity or talk about granule activity, so that's really nice to see, especially in that no-till area. The other thing is we're going to see a lot of post-harvest burn down. So there's going to be a lot of, glyphosate, 2,4-D, probably Vita out in there just as a burn down to help control some of these weeds right now, because if we let them go now, they're just going to be a bigger headache next spring.
Yes, they are. We're just going to add to that seed bank that's already in the ground. It's not going to be getting a whole lot better. All right, Marcia, many more things to talk about when we return from bottom of the hour news, so everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. Many of you have noticed that we have a new program running here in September. We are running a awareness. September is Suicide Prevention Month, and we are dedicating programming on Thursdays in September specifically to raising the awareness of the suicide crisis that's facing our ag community right now. Farmers, ranchers, their family, those in the industry are carrying very heavy burdens in silence. And this special series is to help us shine a light on the issue, to offer education, resources, and most importantly, hope. We thank our sponsors, Prairie St. John, Maple River Grain and Agronomy, Valley Christian Counseling, and Gowan USA. Marcia Van Leer is one of the sales reps for Gowan USA. She covers the Dakotas and part of Minnesota. I think you still have Montana too, Marcia. Am I wrong? Or did I get all your geography covered?
No, I still have Eastern Montana.
Okay. To that effect, we were talking about weed control, but before we do that, you guys signed on to be a part of this awareness for September. You've seen some of these things locally as well. As someone who works hand in hand with farmers, you see the strain that's on everybody. Any comments you want to give to that effect as well?
The biggest thing is just reach out. We all have our phones on, so if somebody has thoughts, just reach out. And it's tough. It's really tough for somebody to say that they need the help. When you look at the egg industry as a whole, it's It's the farmers, it's the ranchers, it's the large animal vets.
Yes.
Veterinary medicine is actually the leading profession for suicide. Egg bankers. I mean, even some of these grain traders that, you know, have kind of gotten into the wrong side of stuff. I mean, it touches every aspect of agriculture, and it needs to be mainstreamed. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to be, you know, hide from it. And us in the agriculture industry, we all need to be there for everybody.
And Marcia, would you say reach out to somebody? Are you saying reach out to just a friend in the ag community because they know what you're going through or what you may be going through? Are you talking about reach out to a professional or both? Whoever's, you know,
whoever will listen. It doesn't matter if you reach out to your clergy, you reach out to your family, you reach out to your friends, reach out to somebody you haven't talked to for a while, and right. You're just like, hey, I need somebody to listen to me. You know, just reach out.
Yeah.
And we, on the other side of it, need to be aware. And, you know, if we know somebody's going through some issues, and, you know, none of us know the private battles that people fight, but, you know, it doesn't hurt for us to, you know, reach out and say, hey, how's it going, you know?
And you know, you said, don't be embarrassed. I had a friend reach out to me who was considering that, and not in the ag community, but just called out of nowhere and said, hey, do you have time to talk? And I said, absolutely. What's going on? We were on the phone for an hour and a half. After we got off, he's like, thank you so much. I feel so much better. I said, well, keep on top of it. And, you know, if you need to talk again, reach out or, you know, try and get some help. Like you said, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Bridget, you and I went through the 80s. We know what it's like.
We do.
I mean.
And it was a lot of stress. And for those who think, well, I want to call someone, but I don't want to burden my friends and family. First of all, they would be happy to take that discussion with you. There is a phone number that anyone can call because it's answered by folks 24 hours, 7 days a week. That is specific to those in agriculture. Someone's going to listen to you and understand the industry that you are in. And that's the AgriStress Hotline. It's available at 833-897-2474. And that is wide open for many. We're going to be joined later this week by Ty Hagland. He's the CEO with Prairie St. John. And we're going to talk about local resources as well with Ty. That'll be on Thursday. So we have a lot going on this week. And Big Iron is a great place to share these types of questions and answers where folks can get resources. Marcia, I'm going to go back to weed control for a few minutes. You talked about granules. And not everybody knows what you mean. I realize in the farming community, we probably do. And we have plenty of farmers who say, I don't want to use granules because it means I have to use tillage. Can we walk through that? What's a granule? Why we would use it? What it delivers as far as weed control?
Sure. Well, pretty sure there are some people within the industry that are maybe within my own company that don't understand what granules are. I'm pretty sure Yuma thinks that, you know, when I talk bulk bags that I'm going to Costco or something? No. That's not how that works. You know, these are 1,000-pound mini bulks. That just, you know, doesn't work that way.
Right.
So granules are basically clay particles that are smaller than the size of a pencil eraser, really, that are coated in herbicide. So whether it be Trifluralin, Treflan, Sonalan, or Avidex, which is Liquid Fargo, that is what a clay particle is. What we do with that is it goes out in the fall. I prefer fall because that gives the time for the chemical to get off of the clay particle and get into the soil profile. But what we do is spread that out in the fall. Generally, we do like a round of tillage. And when I say tillage, I'm not talking the mobile or plow. I'm talking, you know, like a vertical till machine, very minimal till really is what we were looking for. And then we basically want that tillage is to get that clay particle down into the soil profile, whether it happens after application or in the spring before planting.
Okay.
Now, we've kind of changed our approach a little bit just to get more use out there. We are finding success with the within the no-till or the extreme minimum till situations where they put it out in the mm-hmm. fall and let snow fall and rain basically take it off that clay particle. We do still recommend either like a Salford or a drag, a harrow type application in the spring, and then go ahead and seed into it.
Okay.
And Marcia, we were talking off air a little bit about, I was reading an article, I think it was out of Nebraska, I'm pretty sure it was, and how they're very concerned in the Central Plains about the crops this year. And we were talking about soybeans, and you had some concern about the soybeans. What do we need to improve that, or is it too late?
It's not necessarily too late. Like I said, we really need to watch this frost. If we were able to get through last weekend with no frost, the green soybeans that are out there have a chance. Those areas that did get a frost, got a heavy frost and they have green soybeans and they're done. I mean, it is what it is. They're going to be small. They're going to be probably light. Probably see a lot going out the back of the combines, which is going to, is going to affect the yield. I mean, nobody can beat Mother Nature.
Right.
She
haven't found a way yet.
No, she you know, she gets her last word in there. But you know, really we have some nice weather coming up and that's really going to help with the corn crop. I do see a lot of corn starting to dry down, especially some of these earlier varieties. They're starting to dry down, which is nice. Edible beans are coming off. We've seen some edible bean fields that have been pre-harvested. So they've been hit with a herbicide already to basically kill the vines. We don't do that with soybeans. Or in a very rare instance, will we see it with soybeans. I don't think I've ever actually seen it up here with soybeans.
Very rarely. There's not that need because we're picking the varieties with natural dry down, so I don't think we have to worry about it in the same realm. But differently, when we talk about soybeans this time of year, and you know, you mentioned some of these weed control problems early on. Okay, I realize that this is maybe not everybody's favorite thing. You don't have to go run those heavy weedy patches through a combine. Go around them, go mow them, because all you're going to do is spread that seed all over to your next fields too. Those seeds are tiny. They're going to travel. And after that, Marcia, you left the weed patch. What's your next step? Or what do you need to think about come spring?
So really what we need to start thinking about is what we're going to do next spring. How we're going to control these, whether we're going to do cover crop, whether we're going to do a residual herbicide, which that should be an automatic yes. Residuals are our friends. You know, what herbicide package we're going to use or what herbicide trait package we're going to use, which I think right now there's only the one, if I'm not mistaken. Did the other one come back or?
Nope, we don't have that back yet.
Okay, so we just have the one. Well, two, I guess, if you want to count it. You know, or if we're going to not use a herbicide package, which... Then we're just going to go old school like the 80s that we talked about and, you know, bronze the soybeans and make them hurt a little bit. I'm not opposed to that. Kind of like watching soybeans squeal some days.
They come back well. I mean, I know we don't like it, but they come back pretty well from that.
The edible guys understand this.
Yes. We've done this for a while.
You know, we treat soybeans like we treat edibles and... Like I said, you might see a little smoke coming off of a field. Got a little bit hot when we were spraying. But hey, whatever works.
Okay, so when we say hot, this is not like actual heat. It just means that what you apply to that field can cause a little leaf burn.
Yeah, there's a little oil in there. A little oil in that herbicide mix can flash the soybeans like we call. So you'll see like a burning or a yellow flashing. You'll see that on soybeans.
You know, Marcia, you said green foxtail earlier, and I know that in the past we were awfully concerned that was a primary weed problem. I would say wild oats is worse than green foxtail, but is there any good management right now for the two of them?
So it depends on where you're at on which one is the bigger issue. Because as you get further west, green foxtail actually is becoming more of a bigger issue than what we're seeing on the east side. Northeast Montana, northwest North Dakota, even southwest North Dakota are dealing with green foxtail issues. Wild oats on the east side of the state, we've seen more issues with those. And, you know, it's a horse apiece because right now we have resistance to both group one and group two for green foxtails.
Yeah.
There's really nothing out there that's going to control them other than Treflon. We're making a comeback. sad to say, but Treflon's making a comeback in wheat. That's like 20 plus years.
Oh, 20 plus years. I have literature that says we were doing it in the late 70s. So we've got a little time on our hands with this one. But it's coming back and it works.
I remember, you know, when I first started retail and I was out in central North Dakota and we were using Treflon. I'm like, okay, we use this in, you know, corn and soybeans, but okay. We're using it in wheat. And hey, that, you know, 3 pounds an acre, 0.8 of a pint of Treflon, it's going to smoke some green foxtail.
Does. We're going to talk about some other things that have to go along with that precaution, but we can do that another day. So, Marcia, much appreciated that you came into studio today and had an opportunity to visit because you've always got a wealth of knowledge and a broad spectrum of areas in which we can discuss. So I greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Thanks again, Marcia. And when we come back, we're going to have a recap on the weather. We'll recap some showers on radar, even a few thunderstorms out there as well. How does the weather look like for the rest of the week? I'll have those details, and Bridget will have a couple of ag topics as well when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:53 in the afternoon. Temperature 70 degrees here at the studio. We've got some light showers, very light showers on radar from just south of Devil's Lake through Cooperstown and down through the FM area. All moving eastward. Also some stronger storms northeast of Bemidji moving eastward as well. But again, we're not expecting a lot of rain, just a few hit and miss sprinkles out there. So if you're looking for any appreciable rain this week, it's not going to happen. Not around here. It looks pretty dry. Now, as you head out into the western part of the state later this week and into the upcoming weekend, it's going to be wet out there. And we'll see some of that rain move eastward into our area as we head into the upcoming weekend. But again, still not looking at a lot of rainfall. Next week might hold a different story. We'll see how that irons out, but we're looking to get into that stormier part of the LRC cycle right around mid-month, so that would time out with next week, getting a little more moisture up here. But this week, outside of today's light sprinkles, we're not looking at a whole lot. Looks like a pretty dry week, Bridget.
Well, we'll take what we can get for right now, because I know you said that's going to be changing, so we'll watch and keep an eye on it. Folks in western North Dakota are never really upset to take rain. It's not often that they say uncle they have too much because they can just absorb it. You know, they've got great ground cover. Mm-hmm. They have rolling hills for runoff, etc. So they're well attuned to being able to take a little extra rainfall as long as it's not impeding harvest. That's a big deal. Help the pastures. Do not forget, if you are a Cass County Farm Bureau member, tomorrow night is your 83rd annual meeting. It will be at Bonanzaville, right next door to Big Iron, and it is for voting members. Social starts at 5, meal and meeting at 6. If you need to RSVP, you can do that at 701-321-2964. And if you didn't get that number, just drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. I will be happy to share that with you so you can make sure to get registered for that event. Along with all the other things going on out at the fairgrounds and for Big Iron, et cetera. There's quite a few places to stop. If you haven't looked at the schedule for the events during the day, there are going to be a number of roundtable discussions. There will be policy analysts. There will be folks that are talking about tariffs and trade. I think it's worth your time to check out the schedule for the News and Events Center to see what's going to be shared so you can take those in. And no trip to Big Iron is complete without a last stop at the Acme Tool building, because they have show specials on all tools, whether it's Old Milwaukee. That's a beer. Sorry. Milwaukee.
DeWalt. We see where your mind's at already.
That's exactly right. They've got all the tool brands if you're looking for those. Again, show specials, and they also host the line for Kubota tractors. Certainly worth your time to stop and see the folks over at Acme Tools. We know that there's a software company here in North Dakota by the name of Bushel. Bushel was founded and started right here in the Fargo area. And Bushel provides a software for farmers and elevators. So if you're buying and selling grain through your local elevator, and Bushel can provide that app just for you. It can tell you how much grain you have on storage. It can help you with your assembly sheets. They also have the Bushel wallet as part of it. And so it almost acts as a Venmo for farmers. So you can move money in and out of there as needed, whether you're being paid for grain, whether you need to move that money back for fertilizer cost, etc. It's an excellent opportunity and a local app that a lot of people use for their local elevator. Well, they have been recently awarded the AgTech Breakthrough Farm Management Solution of the Year for 2025. AgTech is a part of the a leading market intelligence and recognition platform that looks globally at technology and innovation, and they chose our own local Bushel for their 2025 winner for the Farm Management Solution. Quite an honor for Bushel, and glad to see them continue to do very well in that sector. They're growing, and they're doing a great job of it in this region and across the country. So thanks to the folks at Bushel for all they do.
No doubt. And you know,
kind of one of those companies like 701X. They just do well here. Right.
And you know, when you brought up old Milwaukee, I had to Google it to see if they still sold it, because I haven't heard that.
Oh yeah.
Forever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They still do. Yeah. Yep. I haven't seen it around. That's why I was wondering. I said, maybe Bridget's onto something there.
I'm quite positive my local pub can get you an Old Milwaukee, a Schlitz, and a premium grain belt if you'd like.
Perfect.
I live in a classic place.
Road trip.
There you go.
Well, for Bridget, myself, we want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.